Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I am Tori.
I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, Puma, what do we talk about?
We talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Yes, Jesus, life, and everything in between. Friends, we are in our Names of God series, and our main verse for this series comes from Psalm 9:10. And Puma, what does that say?
Yeah, Psalm 9:10. It says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
Yeah.
And it's a great statement. It's a great promise that those who know the Lord, know him by name, have this trust relationship. And in that trust relationship, he promises that he'll never forsake us, abandon us, leave us, cast us aside.
Yeah.
And what an amazing promise that is.
Yeah. Well, even here at the end of November, like we've just had Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I know that last year we did a little Black Friday special episode, but there tends to be, at least for me, if you're in big crowds or you're just literally in line for an hour and a half getting something on Black Friday, you have a little social fear. You know, if you're a little claustrophobic, my wife hates big crowds. And so oftentimes when there is an event like that, she would like, yeah, I'll probably pass, you know. But there is something to be said about certain fears in life.
Right? Oh, yeah, there is. You know, back when you were young, and when there wasn't as much organization on these days, I remember got trapped in Toys R Us for an hour and a half. Ooh. There were so many people. I was in the back of the store. I just wanted to leave. And there were so many people, I literally couldn't get out of the store. It was a little frightening. You know, I wasn't lost. I just literally physically could not get out of the store.
Wow.
The aisles were so full. It was so, I mean, now they organize all these places and stuff. Less and less people, I think, are going out because of the online shopping. But
yeah, it's true.
Back in the day, I went to the back of the store, and it just, I mean, every aisle was crowded so much that you physically couldn't get out of the building.
Yeah, that's
so
wild.
Yeah, very dangerous.
But, you know, there's also other fears too, right? I mean, you have like the, whether it be crowds or getting just trapped in a place. You know, I remember the first time I saw like casts wide fear amongst all my ministry partner leaders as a youth pastor. I remember it actually was about this time. It was like early winter, and there was a sweet little lady. By lady, I mean teen. I mean, this teen, she's probably like super tiny, like maybe actually like 4'6", super tiny little girl, but she had some severe mental disorder, lots of personalities. I only met four of the voices in her head, but she had about 19. And I remember the first time we're going through a new series, I think it was actually on prayer with the teens. And every time I mentioned Jesus Christ, her personality, one of them, Frank, really mean, vulgar, swore a lot. He would come out and he would just start making a scene, you know, randomly shouting. And every time I said Jesus Christ or hey guys, let's pray, this person, Frank, would come out of this little sweet girl. And it was terrifying. It was scary for me as the youth pastor, but I remember my ministry partners being like, what is going on? I mean, do we just send her away? She's got multiple personality disorder. And yet it only happened when we mentioned Jesus and when we prayed. And there was a real fear. You know, having that kind of experience, even as a youth pastor, lots of conversations with the family and the girl afterwards, it was really scary for the whole youth group. It was pretty scary. And, you know, as we talk about this name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the idea of fear, I think, is really prominent. And maybe if you're like me, you know someone who's had an experience, a kind of creepy, not necessarily supernatural, but maybe, you know someone who's dabbled in the occult, or you know people who've had out of this world experiences that wasn't just drugs. And it kind of gives you some pause, doesn't it? I mean, Puma, I know you, being a very seasoned youth pastor, have had lots of different examples and situations where you saw something that wasn't of God, that there was a real supernatural.
Yeah, there's been lots of situations over the years, and especially in our world. And I've actually watched this whole area grow, but, you know, so you have like the supernatural stuff. You think just in our culture, the kind of dabbling in the supernatural or the curiosity that has grown. I watched that grown over the last 35 years just in the culture. We see this with movies and things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on top of that, there's just the growing fear of evil rising in the world, and fear of war, fear of economic fears, relational fears, the breakdown of families. So there's all kinds of fear of the future. And, you know, it just goes on and on. There's this unsettledness that goes on. And, you know, we just have a lot of fear. And I think it all has a spiritual component to it, underlying spiritual component to it. And so this name of God, you know, today, you know, those who know your name will trust in you, is really one that I think really helps address some of those fears that we have from maybe physical enemies without, or spiritual issues from within, and the unseen things. And so let's just jump into that, Dwight.
Yeah, let's jump into this name of God.
So, Tori, Jehovah Sabbath.
Yes.
Yes. So what exactly does that word mean?
Yeah. So Jehovah Sabbath, you know, there's lots of different translations of this word in English based on your Bible translation, but the way the general idea is Lord of hosts, Lord of angel armies. Some translate, you know, God Almighty, which is different than like Adonai or some of these other names we talked about. But yeah, the idea that the Lord of the unseen realm, the Lord of the angels in the sky that we can't see, the Lord of hosts, so like an army, like this is a word where God has a spiritual army that we can't see. He's the Lord of the unseen.
The Lord of the unseen, or you know, if you could say like the commander-in-chief of the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. The one who is in charge. And you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, in life we have situations, and we live in a physical world. Mm-hmm. So we only really see physical things, and so when supernatural things happen, you know, it kind of unnerves us. But even when we don't recognize the supernatural, there's often a supernatural component to things. Mm-hmm. So you think of like David back in 1 Samuel, when David comes out to meet his brothers, and you know, the armies of Israel are facing off with the armies of the Philistines, and the Philistine champion comes out. You know, who's that?
Goliath.
Goliath, right? He comes out with Goliath, and David, and what does Goliath do? What does he say?
Well, he taunts. He taunts them. He taunts their God. He taunts Yahweh.
Yeah. He's taunting. You see, you know, back then when different peoples went to war with one another, it wasn't just the Israelites against the Philistines. It was the God of Israel against the God of the Philistines. And so the battle was not just physical, but it was also spiritual. And it was it was seen as a spiritual battle. And so when Goliath comes out and he's taunting Israel, and he's saying, "You guys have a weak God. The God that you guys serve is nothing. And you know how I'll prove it? Our champion is going to beat your champion," which will show that our God is better than your God. Mm-hmm. And that was really what was at stake there. And David, being small, not even a military guy, he comes out there and he hears this Philistine champion taunting, not Israel, but, you know, blaspheming against Yahweh, his God.
Yeah.
And so what does David say? What does David say to Goliath?
Yeah, after Goliath threatens him to kill him and kind of poo-poo on his God, David's like, you know what? Plot twist. Today, I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to feed your body to the birds of the air so the whole world will know that there is a God, Yahweh. There is the Lord of hosts, Lord of angel armies, who actually does care and does see, who is going to beat you. And yeah, David champions the name of God, Elohim, and then this name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of angel armies.
He says, Jehovah, you know, my God, you know, Yahweh, the God of Israel, is the God of the unseen realm. He is the God of gods. He is the commander-in-chief of all that claim, you know, superiority, both physically and spiritually.
Yeah.
And so, says David, it was not just a physical battle, it was a spiritual battle.
Absolutely.
And so the one who was going before him in battle was Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of heaven's armies. Mm-hmm. That is who won the victory that day. And that's who David gave credit to, was Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of heaven's armies.
Yeah.
So we see this, you know, throughout Scripture. We see, especially in the minor prophets, you see this name of God used a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about the minor prophets, you think of Israel and Judah and the people of God and disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And the way God would punish Israel was to send another nation, a pagan nation,
yeah,
right? A pagan yeah. nation to come and punish them. And, you know, and just like with David and Goliath, you know, Israel saw and other nations saw that it is our gods against mm-hmm. your God,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was where the battle lines were always drawn.
Yeah.
And so Israel is thinking, how is it that other nations are able to conquer us?
Yeah, right. If Yahweh is really our God.
If Yahweh is really our God, is he really God? Or, mm-hmm. you know, is Dagon God or Baal or any of those mm-hmm. other guys? Are they real gods? Because somehow these other nations are able. And this is why it's so important to be reading our Bible and reading it holistically. Mm-hmm. You see, even other nations were in the palm of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Heaven's armies.
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout the Minor Prophets, you'll see how the prophets speak of Yahweh as not just God, but he is the Lord of Heaven's armies. And the reason why other nations are able to do what they do is because the Lord of Heaven's armies is allowing it to happen, right? Because God has a sovereign purpose, you know? And so we see this throughout the scripture, this idea that our God is the God who is a protector, an almighty, think a military. He's a God who can conquer,
yeah.
right? He's not conquered. He's the one that is able to conquer and wields. And so you'll see throughout scripture where he even has the nations, you know, in his hand. He controls nations. But where this gets really personal for you and I, right? So let's not talk about nations, Tori, but just, you know, for us personally, right? So,
yeah.
you know, I have moments in my life where I've lived in fear. And I'm sure, you know, you have, and mm-hmm. and even as we see in our world, life going kind of crazy, you know, I mean, we're probably all better off to stay off social media. Let's be honest. Can we say that? Right.
Absolutely.
We would be mentally better off if we didn't spend so much time online looking at every headline mm-hmm. and being triggered by every thought and idea
yeah.
and caricature of evil that is expressed.
Yep.
But we still have struggles, right? So where
yeah.
do we go? Right? Where do we go?
Yeah. Well, and this, you know, even Paul references that we don't fight against flesh and blood, right? There's a supernatural world. There we fight against the powers and, but in quotes, powers of this world. And what's so interesting to me is that this name of God, it's the God of the unseen realm, the God of the cosmic realm, that he is Lord of the physical of the earth, but he's also Lord of the things we can't see. And so even whether it's David, you know, telling Goliath, you know what, my God can beat up your God, which by the way is true. But this name highlights that God cannot be tamed. He is master and Lord and ruler of all, that the evil forces of this world cannot stand up against him. And what an encouraging thought that even when we're scared, even when we see, you know, quote, evil in the world, our God is bigger and stronger. And Jesus said, you know, greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. There is a real evil in the world. There absolutely is. And yet Jesus, God, Jehovah Sabaoth, is greater than all of that. What an encouraging thought.
Yeah, it really is encouraging. One of the verses in the Bible that probably many people are familiar with is Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Right? I mean, have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that crocheted on blankets and journals.
Be still and know that I am God. And
yeah.
and a lot of people kind of take that and they run with it into all kind of mystical, you know, just kind of being still and, you know, thinking about
right.
God. And
empty
you know,
your brain.
Empty your brain yeah. and that. But that is not what's going on here.
No, not at all.
What's going on here is the verse 1 of this psalm, which is so famous, that God is my refuge and strength, my ever-present help in trouble.
Yeah.
In other words, when I'm in trouble, when I am experiencing fear, when I am shaken, whether you know, from physical enemies from exterior or like, you know, spiritual issues and the, you know, the whole like demonic realm and all the rise of all that, you know, where do I run for refuge? Where do I go to protect myself? Is there
yeah.
anywhere that I can go that is, I'm going to be shielded and protected? He says the Lord, our God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. You go down to verse 7, it says, the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Sabaoth, this name of God, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of Yahweh, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He, Yahweh, makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know, verse 10, that I am God. I, Yahweh, will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Yeah.
And then he finishes the psalm with this: the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see, the picture here of the Lord of hosts is that he is, our God is, is the God of gods. He is the commander-in-chief of both the physical realm and the unseen realm.
Let's go. Yeah.
And this is why he calls us, be still, right? Don't get crazy. Don't get full of anxiety. Don't get stressed out. Be still and rest in me. Trust me. Let me be your refuge. Why? Because I am the Lord of hosts. I am the commander in chief. I'm on top, right? And I am with you. He says that twice. I'm both ends of that. Be still and know that I'm God. The Lord of hosts is with us. See, this is we are called to know the God who created us. We're called to know him, not just intellectually, but experientially, a real relationship with God. This is why Psalm 9:10, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. That he desires to be with us, to dwell with us. In fact, this is the end of the story, so to speak, in the Bible, right? Now the dwelling of God is with men, right?
Yeah.
Those who are in Christ, those who have embraced God for who he is and have trusted in him, recognize, you know, that their sin and their life can only be rescued, you know, through Jesus. And so we see this, you know, even in Jesus, the Lord of hosts in Revelation 19. He is the rider on the white horse that comes down to go ahead and really make war to the nations. And all he does is speak and nations crumble. Right.
Literally the words of his mouth.
Yes.
The sword, it's just nothing can stand against this God.
This is the Lord of hosts, and this is the God in whom we are called to take refuge in. This is the God we are called to be still and recognize in the midst of, you know, the fearful moments that we have in life. And those moments are going to come in all kinds of different forms. They can be physical. They can be spiritual. But this name of God calls us to know that he alone is a Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of heaven's armies. He is the top dog. He's the commander in chief, and he is with us.
Yeah. If I could worship any God, and again, I get to choose who I worship. I don't get to pick what that looks like. Why would I not want to worship this God, the God who is Lord of all the other, quote, gods out there, bow and bend and break before Jehovah Sabaoth? He is Lord of the unseen realm. He is king of the things unseen, of the cosmic realm. And one of my favorite stories about this, I think really depicts well this name of God, comes from 2 Kings. Is it okay if I share a quick story?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, that'd be good.
2 Kings 6, it's like 8 through 23. So real quickly, this story, the king of Aram is at war with Israel. And the king of Aram, it says he gathers his officials like, hey, let's try to do a joint strike. Let's try to attack the king of Israel. But I love how the Bible says immediately when they make plans, Elisha, the prophet of God, would tell the king of Israel, hey, don't go there. They're going to ambush you. And so this happened apparently enough times where the king of Aram is like, that's it. He calls in his officials and his leader. He goes, one of you is betraying me. One of you is telling Israel our plans. We can never seem to trap Israel. It's crazy because one of the commanders goes, king, it's not our fault, for there's a prophet in Israel, Elisha. And it's crazy. He goes, even the things, king or of Aram, the things you say in the privacy of your bedroom, that Elisha, he tells the king because of, you know, Elisha is buddies with king of Israel. And so the king of Aram's like, okay, so the real problem is this prophet. Let's kill the prophet. And so the king finds out that Elisha lives in Dothan. And so they all go there, and the Bible says they surround his home, his little tiny shack, right? And this is wild to me. So verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up that morning, he went outside and there were troops, horses and chariots everywhere. He cried, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" The young man cried to Elisha. And this is beautiful. Verse 16. It's just so cool. "Do not be afraid," Elisha told him. "Why? For there are more of us on our side than theirs." In verse 17, then Elisha prayed, "O Yahweh, open his eyes and let my servant see." The Lord opened the young servant's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw all over the hillside around Elisha were filled with horses and chariots of fire. Can you imagine that? Like, and just pausing for the story, you're the servant. And Elisha, the Bible never says Elisha saw. He said, "Yahweh, open up the eyes of my servant." And even though the king of Aram had surrounded this little house of Elisha in the sky around the hillside, chariots and horses of fire, for a moment, the servant saw a glimpse of the unseen realm. Mm. Who was in charge of the unseen realm? The chariots of fire? Yahweh was. And Yahweh had his army. Again, completely blind to the unseen realm, God opened the eyes for a moment of the servant. And, you know, long story short, you read it. 2 Kings 6 is pretty amazing. But yeah, long story short, God saved not just Elisha and the servant, God actually saved Israel and actually kind of made peace between the kingdom of Aram and Israel for a time. Super cool story. God sends an angel, blinds the army. Read it. But even with that story, Jehovah Sabaoth, there is an unseen realm we can't see. And yet Elisha, the prophet of God, had enough faith to know it was there and prayed. He didn't say, "Lord, open up my eyes." He goes, "Open up the eyes of my servant," because he trusted in the name of Yahweh. He trusted in Jehovah Sabaoth. There is an unseen realm that God is still in control. And even if there are armies around us, literally, there is an army on our side too. I kind of think of Marvel, where there is the Avengers, right? And, you know, Iron Man's, you know, yapping at Loki, and they're in that, you know, Stark Tower. And, you know, like, "Well, we have this and this." And Iron Man's like, "Yeah, well, we have a Hulk," you know? But as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, we have Jehovah Sabaoth. We worship and serve the God of the unseen realm. Mm-hmm. There is no demon. There is no darkness. There is no evil that can touch us without God allowing it. And by the way, God wins. Yahweh wins. Jehovah Sabaoth wins. He cannot lose. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love this name.
Yeah. And he says, "I am with you."
Yes, that's right. Right? Yeah.
He says, I am with you. Hmm. You know, and even as we kind of wrap up this name of God today, you know, we're thinking about what's a good application question, a good AQ. Mm-hmm. I love going back to Psalm 46. You know, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. And so the question is, you know, when you are fearful, where do you run? Mm. When you have a moment where you are afraid, and everyone experiences that in life,
yeah.
Where do you run? And we run to the place that we think is going to be the best place of protection, right?
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
You know, and so the Psalm 46, you know, it says that the place to run is not to a somewhere, but to a someone. Mm-hmm. You know, we run to the Lord of Heaven's armies. He is the one in whom we take refuge. That's why we can be still in the midst of a storm. Mm. That's why we don't have to be rocked and shaken by every latest headline that we see in the world, or every situation that might surround us, mm-hmm. That we have a God who knows us, loves us, cares about us. He's for us, not against us. And when you think about all the other names of God that we've talked about, and you start putting them all together as a composite, right? Mm-hmm. He's almighty. You know, he is the one that heals. He's the one that the shepherd who leads us, and it goes on and on. You know, he is a one that sees our situation, and we just, yeah, we keep going on and on and on. He is the Lord of Heaven's armies. He is the one who is in sovereign control of all, you know, powers that be. Mm-hmm. And he is the one who promises to be with us, and whom we should take refuge and find strength and comfort.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's a great AQ. Yeah. When you feel threatened, when you're scared, when you are in need, especially of emotional need, where do you run? You know, can you run to God, where you actually can say, you know, I'm at peace. You know, I can be still because I know Jehovah Sabaoth is fighting for me, right? Not right. Against me. That's a great AQ. Yeah.
You know, and so our theme verse, those in our name will trust in you.
Yes. Right?
We trust you when we know that you are the Lord of Heaven's armies, Jehovah Sabaoth. that I can trust you and know that you're not going to forsake me. You're not going to, when the battle gets the fiercest, you're not going to forsake me and abandon me there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to run away from me. You're not going to say, oh, wow, this is too dangerous. This is too hard. You're on your own. No, no. He's the one that goes before us. He's the one that fights for us. He's the one in whom we can just rest.
Yeah.
And that is just pretty awesome to me.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, guys. Thank you, Puma. If you have any questions or comments, please, as always, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, thank you for tuning in for this Name of God, Jehovah Sabaoth. And we'll see you next time, Fridays at 10:10.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.